Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Another man kidnapped in Lebanon, this time a man identified as a West German national of Lebanese origin, snatched by three carloads of gunmen near his West Beirut home. He is the second German captive now being held, and the abduction comes as West German authorities are trying Abbas Hamadi, a Lebanese suspect in the 1985 hijacking of TWA Flight 847. Tony Catterall reports Hamadi's brother was today's star but silent witness in the Dusseldorf trial.
The small figure of Mohammed Hamadi was led into the packed courtroom in handcuffs, with a plainclothes policeman at each side. He was the center of attention, and he's at the center of the case against his brother. Abbas Hamadi is charged with organizing the kidnapping of two West Germans in Beirut January last year, just after Mohammed was arrested at Frankfurt Airport carrying explosives. The aim of the kidnapping was to prevent the younger Hamadi from being extradited to the U.S. to face trial on the TWA hijacking and murder charge. It worked. The Germans decided to put him on trial here. It was not clear what the prosecution expected him to say today, but as it was, he said nothing. Despite repeated appeals by the presiding judge and his brother's defense lawyers, Mohammed made use of his right to remain silent. Tony Catterall for CBS News, Dusseldorf.
The retired Ohio auto worker on trial in Israel as a Nazi war criminal has always claimed he was a victim of mistaken identity. Today, as Martha Teichner reports, his claim was bolstered in court.
Today's testimony could significantly weaken the case against John Demjanjuk. Demjanjuk's lawyers produced a memo written in 1945, signed by Eliyahu Rosenberg, one of the five Treblinka death camp survivors who have accused Demjanjuk of being the Nazi war criminal Ivan the Terrible. The memo describing a prisoner uprising in 1943 says we entered the engine room where Ivan ran Treblinka's gas furnaces and killed him. Rosenberg tried to back away from the sworn statement in which he implied that he had witnessed the death of Ivan. His explanation of the contradiction through the voice of a translator.
It was our dream to finish him off together with others. But he managed to get away. Survive, what luck he had.
Rosenberg then renewed his accusation that Demjanjuk is really Ivan. Demjanjuk thrust the courtroom microphone back and explained in Hebrew, liar, liar, liar. His lawyers now say that if the real Ivan is dead, then the case against John Demjanjuk is also dead. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Colombia's President Virgilio Barco addressing his nation last night, declaring war on drug traffickers and terrorists who this week kidnapped and killed the Attorney General. His 50-point plan calls for 10,000 new judges, prosecutors, and police. Barco appealed to Colombians to help in the crackdown on cocaine czars, offering big rewards to police informers. Egyptian President Mubarak is in Washington today for talks on reviving the Middle East peace process and the current Israeli crackdown on Palestinian protest. Secretary of State George Shultz will meet today with two Palestinian leaders from the occupied territories. Today, an Israeli CBS News camera crew was beaten by Israeli soldiers in Gaza after they filmed troops hitting a Palestinian youth.
10 or 12 soldiers proceeded to beat them, kick them, pull their camera cable out, and disable their tape recorder.
After Bureau Chief Terry Plantiga lodged a strong protest, an Army spokesman apologized and promised to punish the soldiers involved. Cameraman Moshe Ben-Dor and soundman Ido Sella were not seriously hurt. A massive five-year medical survey reported in the New England Journal of Medicine finds that an aspirin every other day cuts the risk of heart attack for healthy men by almost half. We hear more from Dr. Peter Salgo, who reports on medical issues for CBS News.
Unlike previous studies, which looked at aspirin's ability to prevent second heart attacks in men who had already had their first, this research suggests that aspirin might keep some men heart attack-free. That's important news. Important enough for scientists to have stopped the research project early so that its results could be made public. The report needs to be confirmed by other researchers, and an editorial in the journal took pains to point to another study which failed to show any beneficial effect of aspirin upon first heart attack rates. And it's important to remember that aspirin does have side effects, most of them associated with its ability to interfere with blood clotting. Most doctors say that if you're considering taking aspirin for a prolonged period of time, you should do it only with medical supervision. But it's becoming clear that aspirin may play an important role in preventing heart disease in this country. Just how big a role has yet to be determined. Dr. Peter Salgo, CBS News, New York.
Seemingly unaffected by the stock market crash, the American economy expanded in the final quarter of 1987 at a surprisingly brisk 4.2% annual rate. This despite a huge slump in consumer spending. Business correspondent Ray Brady joins us. Ray, how does this square with all the talk about a recession in 88?
Well, Bill, I'm afraid those numbers aren't quite as bright as they look, because a lot of that gain came from inventories. Those are the things that business made but wasn't able to sell because, as you reported, consumers weren't buying. Now, as those things keep stacking up, it means eventually we could see layoffs or a slowing in the economy. So despite bright-looking figures, most people still think that 1988 is going to be a pretty slow year.
Ray Brady. This afternoon, President Reagan formally sends Congress his request for $36 million in new aid for the Contra rebel force in Nicaragua, with the 10% of it designated for arms placed in escrow. That proposal is already being denounced by Democrats as a gun pointed right at the peace process. Correspondent Terrence Smith has more.
According to White House officials, the deal is this. If the president determines by March 31 that the Sandinistas have failed to fulfill their pledge to negotiate an acceptable ceasefire with the Contras, he will ask Congress to concur in that judgment. If both agree, the money will be released. But even with this concession, which Mr. Reagan reportedly was reluctant to make, officials concede that the outcome of the vote is far from certain. Terrence Smith, CBS News, the White House.
In Managua, Sandinista officials say they'll go along with free press provisions of the Arias peace plan by allowing three newspapers and three magazines to resume publishing and letting seven radio news programs back on the air. 17 other radio newscasts will remain banned for now. All were closed under the 1982 state of emergency. Nicaragua's Army intelligence chief now claims Americans were among the dead in that Contra supply plane that crashed Saturday, apparently after it was hit by a Soviet-made missile. The Contras have said no Americans were aboard. El Salvador's decision to free three men held in the 1985 machine gun killings of four American Marines and nine others will cost the government over $18 million in U.S. aid. That cut mandated in legislation sponsored by Wisconsin Democratic Congressman David Obey.
I'm outraged, and I think that the ruling of the Salvadoran military court is just incredible.
Washington has argued the Salvadoran prisoners are criminals and should not be covered under political amnesty provisions of the regional peace plan. Near unanimous approval expected today when the Senate Judiciary Committee votes on Judge Anthony Kennedy's Supreme Court nomination. The dollar is trading lower, the London gold fixing little changed, and on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are up 2.5 points at 1923.08. 10 past 7.